This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a Wednesday. All right, so who are you going to believe? The media that's covering the Rockets or Daryl Morey, who says, oh, no, I don't know anything about the James Harden, Chris Paul not getting along. In fact, we were all together hanging out, talking about free agents. Everything's fine. What are you talking about? Is Morey playing this up because he's got to unload Chris Paul at some point? Or the media that's covering this and reporting that, yeah, there's some rift here. They haven't been talking in 2 months. They don't really like each other. Listen, I'm not naive, okay? Listen, I get it. We live in a clickbait world, okay? We live in a world where, all right, I'm not saying everybody's, you know, every journalist is untruthful, but there are some people out there who stretch the truth a little bit because we live in a click world. But there is some journalistic integrity that I think most of the guys who cover sports have to have in order to stay relevant in the business. If you just lie all the time, it's very difficult to maintain your career. If you just make stuff up, it's very hard to make, you know, to continue on with the career. So, yeah, you may stretch a little bit here and there. You may try to get sensationalized here and there. But for the most part, there's a lot of guys whose reputations are on the line when they hear reports about the disconnect between these two superstars. So Daryl Morey is doing the smart thing, at least from a strategic standpoint, and saying all is fine with the Rockets. Because if he is going to try to unload Chris Paul, he has got to present that maybe we don't really need to do this. We're not desperate. Maybe we really don't. After all, I mean, this is a house that's built on solid ground, a solid foundation. So, yeah, maybe we might do some renovations, but, you know, only if the price is right and you can get the job done in a week and a half. That kind of thing. Rather than, oh my God, my kitchen is just completely destroyed and my bedroom is, I got a tree in it and I need somebody now and fast and whatever it costs, I'll pay it. I think that's what he's trying to do. But it's just a little bit, wow, these are two completely polar opposite stories here that we're getting. So there's some rumblings in Houston. We'll get more NBA news as we get ready for the draft on Thursday. And I can't wait for the draft on Thursday night. Let's see how that plays out for everybody. See how good the Pelicans will be after Zion Williamson and whoever they take it for. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Every time I hear this song, I think of Reese Witherspoon driving away in a car in that movie Cruel Intentions. And it wasn't even that good of a movie. But I must have seen it a bunch of times when it came out or something, like was on HBO in a loop or something like that. I don't even know why I keep remembering that, but that was like from the 90s with her husband, Ryan Phillippe. Nevertheless, I can't wait to see what the Rockets do with Chris Paul's contract. Can't you?
It's comical. It really is.
All right, so he's got 3 years, $121 million left on his deal.
God, chump change.
So that's really, really hard to unload. That's really hard to unload, especially when his production went down. So is Daryl Morey doing the right thing by just sort of saying, I don't know what anybody's talking about. There's no problems here. What are you reporting? What are you talking about? Everything's fine. I think you just got to sell that it's working and figure it out from behind the scenes and just sit down with the two guys and go, hey, guys, listen. You ain't going anywhere. You ain't going anywhere. What are we going to do about this? You guys have a window of opportunity to win a championship, so we got to figure out how to get along because you can't go and you can't go. Like when there's a report at Yahoo that says James Harden said him or me. I don't know about that. I mean, that might have been stretching a little bit. But maybe he did. But even James Harden had to have been smart enough to go, well, I know there's nothing really that you can do. You're not going to trade me.
Yeah, but you know what? Probably not. I mean, I would like to think that you know, he's smart enough to realize that, you know, they can't move him. They can't do anything. You got to make the best of the situation. But at the same time, there's probably, with both of them, saying, you can move him.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's got to be somebody out there that would want.
If you're desperate enough,
this
you can
massive
do it.
Anchor of a contract for 3 years. But, I mean, listen, you could easily move it, as we talked about yesterday. You can move it a little easier if it's got 1 year left on it, for example. Then you could get an expiring deal and, you know, get him in and then off, you know, cut the contract out. But 3 years, that's a lot for a team to take on. And so, and Tillman Fertitta hates this. I mean, he hates that deal. So it's,
yeah, you know, and he's not helping the Rockets out at all either just by coming out and saying, that's a really bad deal.
No, I like him though. He seems, now you know him better. You see him better on a regular basis than I do. But it seems like every time he talks, I'm like, this is an honest, refreshing take on his current basketball team.
Yeah, he's not afraid to just admit things.
Yeah, just come right out and say it.
Just come right out and say it. No big deal.
He had to fly to West Virginia to talk to Mike D'Antoni because he was like, oh yeah, maybe I spoke too soon about some things. We really do want you to coach here. This is great. This is a soap opera. It must be better in Houston as a local thing, but just from a national NBA story with all the focus on the changes in the Western Conference, here is a team that many of us thought would win the Western Conference, and that in 1 year, it's now a dysfunctional mess.
Well, that's really, you know, the larger picture in the NFL, you got to be on notice here because the NBA is stealing all your thunder.
Yeah, get going, NFL. Get those training camps started. Get the conversation going.
I mean, you remember, it seemed like just a few years ago, we could talk NFL all season long, all year long, because there was some sort of drama, some sort of soap opera-esque thing going on. And we've had touches here and there, little bits and pieces, but the NBA seems now to just be a year-long soap opera.
Yeah, exactly. How did these two guys, who, by the way, did a commercial together, didn't they?
Oh, they've done many.
State Farm commercials together.
Yeah, there's a couple State Farm commercials. I don't think they've ever done an HEB commercial, which is a local store down here, which seems to really focus on area teams. You know, the Astros do have an HEB commercial. J.J. Watt has been like the spokesperson for this store chain for years now. And I want to say that they had one, but maybe not. Maybe it's just all been State Farm.
So what happened? So why are they fighting? Why are these two guys mad at each other? Is there a local thing that I'm missing where it's like, well, James dissed Chris Paul's wife or something and said something he shouldn't have said and they haven't gotten over it? What happened? Were they at a charity event and somebody didn't show up? Or, I mean, my goodness, do you go from this is the duo that's going to dethrone the Golden State Warriors to report again by Yahoo that says Harden went to management and said him or me? How does it get like that quickly?
Maybe it stems from game seven, last year against the Rockets. I mean, against the Warriors when Chris Paul went down with an injury.
Did Harden think he could play?
Maybe he was upset about that. Like, you could have limped out there. Come on.
Goodness gracious.
We were 60 seconds away.
But what does Harden expect Maury to do? Like, in all reality, it's one thing to whine and cry, him or me. But Maury could say, well, okay, let's play this out, James. Let's play this out. You're the MVP of the league. I ain't getting rid of you just because you want to leave. What are you, crazy? You're the MVP of the league. You're the reason we're competitive. Him. Okay. Now you want me to get rid of him. 3 years, 121. If you and your agent want to get together and give me a list of teams that would be more than happy to take on this albatross of a contract, I'll be more than happy to make the phone calls. But since I do this for a living, I can tell you right now, the answer to that question is zero. So tell me what I'm supposed to do. I'm not trading you, and I can't get rid of him. So now what do we do? So let's play this out. What are we going to do now? Are you not going to play? Do you want to sit out a year? Maybe you want to sit out for three. How about that? Until the contract expires. Then you can come back. What do you want us to do? I mean, what in reality do you want us to do? Because again, if you and your agent know a team that would like to pay $121 million for an aging point guard who's lost production, I'm all ears.
Yeah, not only lost production, but is a risk on the court to getting injured at any given second.
Exactly. So if you know an owner that would be more than happy to dump millions and millions of dollars into a lap of a player who's not going to give him anything, I'm more than welcome to listen to this. So in that respect, if Morey actually could have that conversation with Harden, and he wouldn't, but let's say he did, then you got to say, okay, so the next step is, what do we do now? Since you're not going anywhere, and I just showed you how he can't go anywhere, now we've got an issue here where, do you guys want to figure out how to play together enough to make this work? Do you guys want to figure out what the beef is between you to make this work so that both of you have an opportunity to win a championship? Or do you want to fight and create some discord so that you don't, and then the next 2 years maybe, because I might be able to get rid of his contract with 1 year left on it, are going to be wasted? Do you want to do that? Because again, I'm not trading you and I can't get rid of him. So what do you want us to do? It's a really tough position to be in. Now, let's say Morey is correct, right? Let's say he's like, I never knew about these two guys. Then somebody's got some splaining to do in the media in terms of where exactly this is coming from. But sources within the NBA are telling a number of people, this is real. Like this is, one person used the word unsalvageable. That's what you say about like a marriage in which somebody commits an affair, like that, not a relationship, a teammate relationship. I am sure, unless it's personal, unless the beef is really personal, like somebody said something about somebody's family or something. If it's just about philosophy or way that somebody plays or the way somebody conducts themselves, that is something you can address. That's something you can have a conversation about. Don't act like children. Act like men. Sit down and talk about it. So, I don't know. This is a soap opera now, which is, again, fun for us. But I'm sure that especially Rockets fans who are looking at this opportunity, saying, God, I don't need this. Right? Listen, we now have a Western Conference that's getting a little tougher. I don't need this where the owner is saying this and the two players don't like each other and one of them wants to leave and the other one can't leave. And it's, because I want to have an opportunity to win. If my team has to strip it down and start all over again, that's two or three more years before we start this up again. It's got to be frustrating because it can all go away so quickly. So I tried to explain this to my kid. She loves the Golden State Warriors. And she says, are they going to win a championship again? I go, I have no idea. But that's the joy of being a sports fan. Of course, my wife is like, yeah, honey, don't worry. They'll win again. And I'm like, tell her the truth. We may not see them win a title ever. Who knows? You don't know how this works. But what you want as a fan is you want to feel like you've got a competitive team, a chance that it's not all hope isn't lost, that you're not just struggling to make the playoffs, that you have a team that says, once we get to the playoffs, we can win. Now you pair Chris Paul. If Chris Paul is healthy and James Harden is his MVP form, you don't have to add that much to this team to make them competitive. In terms of winning a championship, because they're already competitive, but in terms of winning a championship. But this soap opera is ready to crack it open. It's amazing. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio. The draft is tomorrow. The New Orleans Pelicans have the number one pick. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Also get into some NFL news and notes. And now, but coming up next, I want to get to this one weird story of a name you probably remember, but now he's back in the news for another reason. That's next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, doing a tool, a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so they're sure to have the tool in stock to help get the job done. Purchase the needed parts, put down a deposit on the loaner tool, and then return that tool in the original condition and receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I know I've said this before, but every time I do that read, it reminds me that I don't know a lot about cars, and I wish... If I could go back in a time machine, if I could take the DeLorean back to when I was a kid, I should have learned how to fix cars, repairs.
Pay a little bit more attention, I know.
Yeah, my dad tried, but I was like, it just didn't catch it on with me. I just didn't, just something I didn't run to.
See, I mean, and it's the simple things too, right? Like, I need to, my wife's car needs a new headlight, light bulb.
And oh, yeah.
I've
done this before.
I'm pretty sure I can do it, but there's that self-doubt in me. Like, you know what? I don't want to have to go to a mechanic. Like, can you change the light bulb?
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who's a mechanic, and I said to him, I needed a new headlight. And I said, hey, I need a new headlight. Do you know how to do that? And he goes, yeah, I do, but you can do it too. It's not that hard. And I go, really? He goes, I swear it is not that hard. And I go, are you sure? Because it really looks complicated. Like, I open up the hood, and it's a bunch of wires and stuff. And he goes, trust me, this is not hard. You can do it.
See, that's how I feel. And I know that, you know, how embarrassing would it be just to take it in? It's like, I already got the light bulb. Can you just put it in? I mean, I feel like it's like, you know, just changing a light bulb in your house. You know, it's like, it should be just, you know, screw it. I mean, that's how it should be. But there's that self-doubt in me. Like, so I'm almost hesitant to go and buy a light bulb just because, you know, out of fear that I'm going to wreck the car.
It'll be easy. I was very pleased with myself. Plus, there's always some guy on YouTube that's like, showing you how to change a headlight in a 2012 Honda Civic. All you want to do is pop the hood. And there's always a guy on YouTube doing that. Yep. It's got like 40 views.
Bing, bam, boom. There you go. It's done.
There you go. It's done. Yeah. It's locked in.
It better be one of those like 30-second videos, because if it's longer than 30 seconds, I'm screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but if you need a loaner tool for it, go to O'Reilly. So. You can change that light bulb.
They do loaner light bulbs. Probably not.
Well, one time I got pulled over by a cop, and he goes, cop came over, and he goes, hey, I just want to let you know your headlight's out in the back. And a panic hit me. Like, I don't know how to fix that. I was like, now you're right. I don't want to go in and ask, and I don't know how to do it. Oh, no.
I need to turn in my man card of that. I'll tell you this. We were coming home. My wife had told me, hey, my light bulb is out. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll get to it. Then we're coming home at night one time, and we're passing by a high school. This was recently because there was a graduation ceremony going on. And, you know, there was cops just kind of directing traffic, and we pull up. And the cop goes, you know, it's like, hey, I just want to let you know your light bulb's out. I'm like, oh, really? I didn't even know. Thank you for it's something you just don't even, you know, I would never see it, you know, because always behind the wheel. We pull away. My wife's like, I told you that like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to admit that to him.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to tell a cop like, oh, no, she told me that 2 weeks ago. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, I can't afford light bulb money.
Right. All right, so you guys remember this from about, this name from about, oh, how long ago? Well, he played in the NFL, so maybe a little earlier than that. Rod Smart, he hate me, had been missing for 6 days and has finally been found safe and sound. Here's the deal. We didn't know why he was out, though. There hasn't been any report as to why he was missing or what's the deal or what's the story. But he hate me is in the news because somebody went, hey, he's not around anymore. And then 6 days later, they went, oh, yeah, he is. He's back. But I just was reminded of the XFL prominence that Rod Smart, he hate me, is still popular enough or known enough to warrant this kind of story. That's what the he hate me nickname actually meant. Because he did play with the Eagles and the Panthers, but I mean, I don't really remember what he did in the NFL.
I don't remember the NFL.
I don't remember anything.
Part of it all, but he ruled the XFL.
He did, and that's where I was getting at. Part of the appeal of this story in the headline is that so many people remember he hate me. So when there's a story about, hey, he's been missing for a couple of days, South Carolina police don't know where he is, they're looking for him, oh, they found him, and he's safe and sound, that becomes a sports story. I found it everywhere today. I found it in newspapers. I found it on all the sports headlines. And the main reason is because there was one time the XFL was a big deal for a brief period of time, and he was the biggest deal in the big deal of when the XFL was popular. And because of that, I mean, listen, Tommy Maddox was the MVP and actually went to the NFL and led the Steelers to the playoffs. But He Hate Me etched himself into the fame in the minds of a lot of sports fans because the league had that rule that you could put nicknames on the back of jerseys, and this was the best one that they had.
No, I would go so far to say that if the XFL had a Hall of Fame, he would be on the first ballot.
I agree completely. Completely.
I mean, I can't think. It's really hard for me to think of any other players that played in the XFL.
Outside of Tommy Maddox, I can't think of one. Yeah, and the only reason I remembered Tommy Maddox playing is because he went to the Steelers. And that was a big conversation, was Tommy Maddox is back in the league. Because Maddox was drafted by the Broncos. Then he went to the XFL. He led the LA team, I think, to like a championship or whatever they had. And then he went back to the NFL. He played really well for the Steelers. And a lot of people, you know, at the time was talking about, you know, maybe the XFL was the best thing for Tommy Maddox. He kind of needed a reset. And now he's getting the second chance with the Steelers. And they were playing really well until Roethlisberger basically took over the job. But those are the only two that I remember. And the only reason I remember Rod Smart, I don't remember him making a play. I don't remember him returning a punt or making whatever position he, I think it was running back and special teams guy. I don't remember anything super special about him. I don't think he was as electrifying, but that goes to show you, and this is the one thing Vince McMahon can take. He took a lot of things. The camera work was really innovative at the time and all of that. But the idea of the nicknames on the back of the jerseys was actually pretty good for at least him. Because, again, people loved it and people remembered him. And so, again, here we are in 2019, 18 years after the XFL began. And there is story after story after story about this guy being missing and now being found. But I can guarantee you that a lot of other former XFL players have either gotten in trouble with the law or something happened to them or whatever. And nope, it's not worthy of a headline.
No, we don't
care. You don't say former Memphis blah, 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 whatever they were called.
Well, and that's the other thing,
tight
too.
End was in a car accident and suffered multiple fractures.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, about the XFL. I couldn't tell you where the teams were, what city they were in. Or, I mean, you said L.A., and I was like, I think there was one in Vegas.
Vegas. He played for Vegas. Vegas Outlaws. Yep.
So, I mean, outside of that, I couldn't tell you which teams, what the team names were, where they were, what city they were in. But I do remember He Hate Me. And that's really, I mean, I could picture him. You know, and that's what's amazing to me is that you can picture the jersey. I remember hearing him talk about the nickname in the jersey.
He Hate Me. It was great. It was brilliant.
Well, I'm glad he was found. I saw that story. I didn't see the conclusion.
Me too. Again, they'll probably tell you, maybe somebody will report on it later, but he is safe and sound in Conway, South Carolina is where he's at. But again, this guy played 5 years in the NFL. I couldn't tell you one thing he did. I can't remember one moment he did. I had to look up where he played. I didn't even remember where he played. Didn't matter. This is all irrelevant. This goes to show you that how big marketing can be, branding can be. Again, I barely remember his career. I barely remember any athletic feat. I barely remember his first name, but I know He Hate Me. And if you put that in a headline, I'm going to click it and I'm going to find out a story. Again, we go back to what I was talking about earlier about that we live in a clickbait world. People determined that our society, sports society, would gravitate towards this story because we all remembered the nickname, not the man, the nickname. And that was enough to say, hey, listen, something's going on with this guy personally and he's safe and sound. Thought you guys should know. And we went, yeah, we really would like to know. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. It's just a small story, but yet tells a larger picture of where we're at. And again, that's a brilliant move by the XFL, which is coming back in 2020. I have no idea what that league is going to look like when it comes back. I have no idea if it's going to be basically the same. I hope not, right? Like, I don't think having two guys run at each other full speed to get a football that's been planted at the 50-yard line was a really good idea. If I'm not mistaken, I think the first time they did that, a guy suffered a broken shoulder, and America cheered and said, that's what we want. That's what we want. In this day and age, it's a little different. But, man, it's...
Again, very cool. Michael on Twitter, there are still fantasy football teams and softball leagues that have individuals with the name He Hate Me on jerseys. That's amazing that 18 years later, that still resonates with the public like that. It's so cool. It's so cool. But like I said, if you have any player from, I don't care, XFL, AAFL, whatever it was, you wouldn't really be all that interested if he was just a backup tight end for the Memphis Express. But this one individual, he was on top of the league just for no other reason than he took advantage of a marketing opportunity Vince McMahon gave him. 18 years later, it still carries weight. All right, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM as we roll along on a Wednesday.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. So, Ron, do you believe this Brett Favre story that he got hacked on Instagram?
Nope.
After he announced his NFL return and then deleted it?
Not at all.
I don't either. Here's the thing, man. Brett, let me give you some advice, or let me just give you the lay of the land here. Nobody believes that a 50-year-old quarterback is coming back to the NFL, but you're kind of known for this, as well as having a great Hall of Fame career and winning Super Bowl and all of the things that you've done, all of the great accomplishments. You're kind of known for this whole retire, unretire, retire, unretire thing. It's kind of your, a thing you're known for. Roll with it. Just roll. Have fun with it. Leave it up. Let people laugh. Let people chuckle. We all got so much negativity in the world. We'll laugh at your attempt to come back at 50 or whatever, how old you are.
We would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, we're good, man.
Wait. It's like, what team is he going to go to? Maybe he'll go to the Patriots.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you'll hold a clipboard for Nick Foles in Jacksonville.
There we go.
How about that? Why not? Right? Just have some fun with it. Don't post it and think, oh, shoot, maybe this is going, I don't know, I'll delete it. No, ride with it. Yeah. Have a good time. Make it part of your thing.
Enjoy the moment.
Exactly.
We don't talk about you that much anymore.
Why not? We should.
Last time I think we talked about you was wearing weird jeans playing flag touch football or whatever.
Yeah,
in
that's
a commercial.
Right. Listen, you're what, 50? He's about 50 years old. You had a great Pro Bowl, Super Bowl champion career. I mean, fantastic career, Hall of Fame career. But let's be honest, the retirement thing wasn't exactly clear at times, all right? We were a little confused. But that's okay. We're not mad about it. So just have some fun with it. Just do that. Do your thing. But yeah, why do people do this whole, was he hacked? Now, maybe there is hacking going on and I'm just not popular enough to have been hacked. So I don't really know what it's like. But it seems like every celebrity does something and then goes, oh no, I got hacked.
No, it's a scapegoat.
Yeah. Oh no, somebody did that. I didn't do that.
I didn't do it. Somebody else did it to me.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be hacked. So
This one is innocent. I would, even if I did get hacked, I would totally own it.
Yeah, I would too.
Just have fun with it.
Just have some fun with it. Don't be, post something and then just delete it, being like, maybe I went too far. Or, I don't know why he would delete it. I mean, maybe say, that's not a good look, Brett. And he went, okay, I guess so. But Favre says he was hacked. So.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
No, I'm not buying it either. Just have fun.
I would have used the hacking comment on the other incident.
The stuff with the, what was her name, Jen Sturger, the stuff with that. Yeah. I would have hacked that.
I would have gone hacking with that. That would have been my excuse.
George Blanda is the oldest starting quarterback in the NFL at 48. I think if you're Tom Brady, that's the goal. Try to be that. He says he wants to play till 45. He should have been more bold. Said, no, George Blanda started a game at 48 years old. I can do the exact same thing. I'll start a game at 48 years old.
Now, here's a question for you. Have we ever had somebody jump into the, get elected into the Hall of Fame and then come back and play? Because Favre has been elected into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
The only reason why I'm asking that is because I know he has to wait 5 years. I didn't know when that 5 years started because he got coming back from retirement.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's been more than 5 years since he finally finished his career, right?
Yeah. That's funny that you mentioned that, because I'm wondering if somebody played baseball in the 30s and retired a little earlier than they thought, got into the Hall of Fame and said, I don't know, I'm like 39 now.
Yeah, I'm not done yet. I want to go back and come play. Back.
And then like the St. Louis Browns or something gave him like a DH position. There was no DH back then, but made him play like center field or something. Whatever. I don't know. But not recently. But it'll be... There's two things now, Brett Favre, I think about with Brett Favre, is the Gene commercial, and then there's the one where he looks like Grizzly Adams, and he's got the micro-touch shaver, and he shaves off his beard and stuff, but he looks like he's been, like, hunting in the woods for about 8 months. Yeah. Like he crawled out of the woodwork.
How soon will he become Randy Quaid?
Right.
I mean, Randy Quaid, beloved actor, right. You know, Cousin Eddie... Russell, whatever, from Independence Day, who, you know, saved the planet. And
that's right.
Didn't really get the recognition he deserved from saving the planet.
Nope.
But now just a complete recluse living in Canada. And I feel that's a path Brett Favre could take.
That he could, exactly. But that ad where he's shaving up, like, he really went all out for that. They were like, okay, Brett, here's the deal. This is a razor, and what we need you to do is... We want you to shave off your beard. He's like, would you like me to let it just grow out like I've been living in the, you know, in the backwoods of Mississippi this whole time? You know, do whatever you want to do. I don't care. And he comes into the set and like, my God, look like Ted Kaczynski for crying out loud. What is this?
Yeah. I mean, one thing you don't know about Brett Favre, he's a method actor.
He really is.
He's up there with Ed Norton, Christian Bale. I mean, when they jump into a role, they jump into a role.
That's right.
And they are that role for... You know, weeks, months, maybe even a year, depending on how long the shoot is. We don't know.
Something About Mary. Remember that? Here to play the Dolphins. You beep, beep.
Favre.
Exactly. What's Brett Favre doing here? I'm here to play the Dolphins. Yeah, it was pretty good acting at the time. But listen, back to Brett. Just roll with the fun of Instagram. There's like, listen, I remember some of these athletes. OJ, for example, but these athletes that jump on Twitter for the first time, right? And they go, hey guys, I'm on Twitter. Hey, this is going to be great. I'll share my ideas and I'll tell you what's going on in my life and I'll tell you my opinions on things. So give me a follow. You'll love it. Thanks, guys. And they don't realize what hell they're walking into when they get to Twitter. Like somebody needs to pull them aside and go, this is a cesspool of scum and villainy. Like, you have no idea what you're walking into. I swear on Twitter, you could put out, it's a beautiful day. Hope everybody's having a great life. And you will get negative comments all the way down saying, who said it was a beautiful day? It's an awful day. Every day is a terrible day. This is not a good day. How dare you? I'm offended. Like, that's Twitter. So when you have fun on Twitter and Instagram, when you're making a few jokes, especially self-deprecating jokes, they're awesome. So Brett Favre, this is what you're known for. This is, you know, again, you had a great career, Hall of Fame career. This is what people like about you. The fact that you couldn't give up football. And I've always said this about Brett Favre, because a lot of people were getting annoyed at Brett when you kept going back and forth. And I said, why are you getting annoyed at him? Think about this. This guy... He's played football his entire life. His dad coached him. I mean, this is all he knows. You try giving something like that up for the rest of your life in your 30s. It's possible. It is really hard to do. So when you give it up, you have to be 100% sure. And if there's the slightest doubt and the phone is ringing, it's got to be impossible to turn that switch off. That's all you are. You are defined. You can be a dad, a husband, all of those things. But if your whole life has been throwing a football and playing the game and studying the game and working on your game, and then sometime like at 37, they're telling you you have to be done. Like, who says that? So I was never bothered by Brett Favre's indecision of wanting to go back and forth. I know it made for fun and talk radio fun at the time, but I got it because, man, when you care about something that much and somebody is, you know, you feel like you have to let it go and never get it back again, that's a really tough decision.
No, there's a reason why when these players, iconic players who've done everything right in their career, have a hard time walking away from the game. That's why they're crying when they're actually it's almost as if they're admitting it to themselves right there for the first time that they are stepping away from the game.
Yep. And yeah, you can enjoy all of the festivities of being a post playing athlete, right? Go to the store openings, go to the Super Bowl radio row and sell whatever it is, and people reminisce about your playing days. Oh, all of that, that's all on the table. But when the NFL season kicks off, you're not doing that anymore. That's not what you're doing. And that's got to be really tough for these guys initially. Now, listen, some walk away and go, hey, I'm never going back. I'm totally fine with this. I still don't know how Barry Sanders did it, right? I still don't know how Calvin Johnson did it. I still don't know how some of these other athletes do it where they go, now I'm 30, I'm 32, I'm out, I'm done. Okay, maybe it didn't fit their life profile like other athletes. But, I mean, this is why golfers never have to give this up. Golfers give this up when they have great-grandchildren, for crying out loud. They just keep playing on that Champions Tour.
Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need to create like a senior league for the NFL. So these guys can just move on to the next phase of their career.
He's at the 20. The 21. And down at the 21.5-yard line. Boy, he made that look easy. Pickup of 2.5, and it'll be 2nd and 8. Yeah, and a tackle. Nope, sorry, broke that. Broke that too. He's at the 30, and he just gasping for air with a pickup of 5 yards.
Yeah. But when you mean broke that, you weren't talking tackle.
No.
That was hip.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, man, I got it. I totally got it. That's got to be really hard. I saw him play when he came to Denver 1 year. It's 2008 or 9 or whatever. I can't remember the years. It's all blurry. But he won an overtime game for the Packers. He threw a touchdown pass in overtime. And Denver Bronco fans they're really loyal, right? They sell out every game and whatnot. But I still to this day have no idea how, and I went to a lot of games there, how opposing fans got tickets. Brett Favre completes this touchdown pass on the road in Denver, and the place goes nuts with Packer fans. They found their way there. I have no idea how they did it. They found their way there. But it was a great overtime win. But he was like a bucket list athlete that I desperately wanted to see, because Denver didn't play Green Bay at home very often, right? Once every 8 years, they would play him. So I really wanted to see him play at least one time, because, you know, he was like a Cracker Jack box. You had no idea what kind of game Brett Favre was going to give you. Rambling around for 4 touchdowns, or you throw 4 picks and 2 are returned for touchdowns. You have no. He was that cool. That was great. So Brett, have some fun with Instagram. Just take my advice. The world needs some laughter and some fun and some self-deprecating humor. And don't go to the hacking card. Nobody believes it. You really got to. It's really the onus on you to prove hacking than for us to prove you weren't hacked. That just seems to be the way it is. It's SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, as we continue along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So are we planning for any surprises for the NBA draft? Some last-minute mega trade?
They need it.
Yeah, I kind of hope so. Like, I'm kind of hoping the Knicks are like, I don't know, we want that number 2 pick, Memphis.
I'm hoping the Knicks go the other round. Like, you know what? God, we really need that Chris Paul on our team.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that. Maybe the Knicks will go, oh, yeah, RJ Barrett. No.
Yeah, don't want really him. Need him.
Just trade out of this third pick and go get
Number two,
Chris
pick.
Paul.
Yeah, third pick for Chris Paul. That works, right? Exactly. That makes all the sense in the world.
I can't wait. I really can't wait for Thursday. The NBA draft is so cool, but I'm looking forward to Adam Silver. Like, nah, because he's not that. He's not like David Stern butchering some French guy's name or so. Whoever is coming from the international side and just completely butchering. David Stern used to do this. Oh, just, do he, that he, a lot.
Butcher words. Remember Western Conference champions?
Yeah, that's right. I miss David Stern. He was great.
Just bring him back just to meet. We should just make the announcements. I would love to see him try to tackle some Lithuanian player's name.
He had this really, David Stern had that really cool, he had this like accent that was really cool. Like it was kind of part New York, you know, part, you'd be like, with the third pick in the NBA draft, the New York Knicks select. That was something about him that I liked. I always thought he was a great commissioner. I know people had problems with him and some people didn't like some of the things he did, but I give Guy credit for taking pretty much a garbage league that was on tape delay and turning it into the mega behemoth that it is now. I mean, it's a global institution. And before it was, when he took it over, it was, the NBA was riddled with drug problems, bad teams, just not a good league, very uncompetitive. It was like in the 70s, just a bad time for the league. Of course, he gets helped by Bird and Magic coming in at the same time. That was always a plus. But, I mean, the finals were on tape delay. Who does that? But that's the way it was back in the day. And turned it into this global institution that people can't get enough of. Adam Silver is too much of a player's guy, but nevertheless, I mean, still, it's his league. So I'm looking, the question I got on Thursday night is, in from a basketball perspective, is when this is over, the two rounds are done, how good did the Pelicans make themselves with their two picks? I mean, who did they get at four? Did they get DeAndre Hunter? Did they get, I mean, who, you know, so whoever is at the fourth that they pick, how does that pair with what the three guys that they got from the Lakers, and just what kind of team do they have? Because that's the interesting part. I'm not so much interested in Ja Morant going to Memphis. That's great. And RJ Barrett to the Knicks. But the Pelicans with the one and two, Zion and whoever they take it for, that's interesting to me. You know who is another team you should keep your eye on in the opening round? And maybe they stand pat. The Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks have three picks in round one. And two, I think, are in the top 10. So watch for the Hawks to package that up for something. Or maybe they stand pat and actually make three first-round selections. Interesting, because they've got Trae Young down in Atlanta who had a fantastic rookie season. But I don't know if you want to pair him up with that many young talent from in the first round. Maybe you see him try to go for a veteran with maybe one or two of those picks. SB Nation AM.